Now, today, our text is actually only one verse. But this verse is going to be a very, very important one because the Lord Jesus had to teach the disciples to be very, very focused about whom they want to serve. Now, the Lord Jesus had been addressing many problems as we have been reading in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 6. And these problems had to be addressed. If they are not addressed, then faith will be affected, life will be affected, understanding of the scriptures will be affected. And the Lord had to address many, many issues on prayer, on fasting, on hypocrisy. Now, all these things had to be looked into. And now, today, we are going to take a look at a problem which affected them, it affects us now today. And that problem is simply called money. This had to be dealt with. In Matthew 6:24, the Lord Jesus Christ said to disciples, and he said, as recorded here, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And the word mammon is just an old Latin word which literally means wealth. In this case here, the word mammon is personified in the text. And of course, mammon is just simply described as the god of wealth. And in fact, in the early days, there were people who actually worshipped mammon, which seems to be astonishing. But it's not really so because today, people also worship a god of wealth. Now, as we take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach disciples, and the focus, the first word that that draws our attention is the word master. And the idea of a master is one who is Lord, one who is in control, one to whom we will have to give obeisance. And a servant cannot have two masters, obviously. The demands will be too great. The demands could be really contrary to each other. It's either one or the other. At the end of the day, a servant must learn to love the master and be loyal, or the person will not be a good and faithful servant. Right? And the danger, obviously, is that as you serve one, as you learn to love that particular master, to be loyal, you'll end up literally hating the other one. And so it's a choice between God and mammon. Now, that seems to be an awful choice, but a lot of people prefer to have a third choice, God and mammon. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not offer a third alternative. It's either God or mammon, not both. Well, why is this problem so huge? Well, part of the problem is very, very obvious. Because if the Lord is master, if God is truly master, there cannot be a compromise, right? So when you take a look at what the Lord calls people who are servants of His to look into, you begin to realize how different they really, really can be. So when the Lord Jesus Christ called His disciples, they were, one, to leave all, two, to follow Him, three, to focus on learning how to become fishers of men. Now, if they were to serve mammon, their focus would be not about God, but money, about making more money, about having success, about having enterprises that they can be very happy about and be proud of. And so you'll end up with two very, very diverse situations or masters, and you have to choose one or the other. The difficulty is the choice of it all. And today, in a modern world, the choice is almost weighted for mammon, towards mammon than towards God. And so people who want to talk about serving God always have to struggle about money issues, about prestige, about wealth, about things that the world offers. And this becomes a big problem. And many people decide on choosing mammon because they like wealth, they like prestige, they like the comforts of life, they like luxury things, they like all the things that mammon offers, but to the detriment of the soul, to the detriment of the spiritual life. And this is something that we need to ask ourselves, what is life all about? Now, as we take a look at this issue of serving God or mammon, the Apostle Paul had a disciple called Timothy, and Timothy was a spiritual son to Paul. And this was his advice. Now, Timothy was a pastor, and yet Paul had to give him this word of advice to him and for him to teach his church. And Paul's teaching is about serving God. Godliness was the focus. When we really want to follow God, what will we become? We become people who are godly, or we should be. And godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, this is something that we must consider very, very carefully. And Paul's arguments are very straightforward. One, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. This is actually found in the book of Job, where Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked he will return." Well, this, in other words, you can't take anything with you. This is basically what Paul himself also said. And so what is godliness with contentment? If we have food enough to eat, we have enough clothing, we should be content. But for many people, it doesn't work that way. There is no contentment unless a person is rich. Now, that is the problem with mammon. The pull, the desire to become rich, to become wealthy, without realizing the dangers. What Paul had to tell Timothy, this is what we want to look at. Those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare. What are these temptations and a snare? Well, mammon will do anything and everything he can to lure people to chasing after wealth. Well, people can enter into foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And so when people pursue wealth, this is what happens. You end up having a love for money rather than a love for God. And this love for money is, Paul says, a root of all kinds of evil. For what will happen? People will end up straying from their faith. They will become greedy. They will pierce themselves with many sorrows, always dreaming about wealth, but never finding it. Being discontented, being unhappy, being angry, being upset over everything. Somebody else gets promoted and not you, you're upset. Somebody has got more things than you have, you get upset, and life becomes a perpetual mess. How do we understand all of these things here? And what is the challenge of it all? And so Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, you are a man of God. You've chosen to follow the Lord. What should you do? Flee all of these things. Flee the love of money. Flee the roots of all kinds of evil. Flee from greediness. Flee from things that will bring sorrow and nothing more. What then should we choose to follow?" When Paul tells Timothy, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, love, patience, gentleness. These are the things that any godly person will want to pursue. They're not easy things to attain by any means, but they are things that we must seriously consider pursuing. At the end of it all, what's life all about? Well, Paul uses the imagery of a fight again and again. And he says, our faith is like a good fight. right? And we literally have to fight for our faith in order for the faith to grow. So how does it work? Well, we will have to look at eternal life. Instead of assuming eternal life, it is something that you want to grapple with. It is sort of, oh, listen, if I really have eternal life, what is it? I want to lay hold on it. And once I lay hold on it, I begin to realize that it has to do with God's calling. God has called me to believe in the Lord. God has called us to serve the Lord. God has called us to live a life that is godly. And so what do? So Paul reminds Timothy, Timothy, you have confessed the good confession. You have confessed that you believe in the Lord Jesus. You confess that you want to serve the Lord Jesus. You confess all of these things in the presence of many witnesses. Well, you don't want to go back and then recant all that you have said you would do. That would be a real crying shame. And so the whole focus to Timothy and to all the people that he will teach is to emphasize what the Lord Jesus Christ began with. One, we cannot serve two masters. Very often we fool ourselves into thinking that we can do both. And we'll find that after a while, there will come a conflict. It is either God or man. And we'll find that bit by bit, you'll find that our faith is not growing. You'll find that our life is not effective. We are not fruitful. And why so? Because so much of our time, energy, focus, effort, they're really spent on gaining a promotion, earning more money, saving more money, investing in more money. Everybody just about talks about money today, unfortunately. So what will happen if this is not addressed and not corrected? You'll find that many people's faith will just fade away. This happens a lot of times when we are young, when you are a student, and you don't have very much money except pocket money given by your parents. And then you'll find yourself studying very hard, and then you work very hard, and then finally you finish university, you get a job, and that's where the temptation starts. Well, you want to look for a cushy job. You want to look for a job that pays the best amount of money. And then you look for vacation. Then you look at wanting to get married to somebody wonderful. And then you want a nice house. And then you want to have a wonderful family, and so on and so forth. And you'll find that all of these things are temptations and snares. At the end of it all, what is snared? Your faith, your life, your walk with God, your relationship with God. All things would just disappear along the way. Can this happen? And I think if we are honest and candid with ourselves, we realize it's happened too often. And question is, how can we deal with this problem? And so the Lord Jesus' teaching about not serving mammon, not choosing mammon, becomes very real. But he has left it to the individual. He's left it to you and to me. You decide. Even if the Lord wants you to, he will not decide for you. You must choose. And so today we must ask ourselves, whom would we choose? What would we choose? Will we choose God and a life of faith and godliness and contentment? And if that is the case, we may not be the richest person around. We may not have all the niceties of life, but we would have God's love and God's favor and God's blessing. On the other hand, if we were to choose mammon, you'll find very soon your interest in godly things disappears. Your commitment to read the scriptures will wither away. Your desire to live a godly life, to serve the Lord, to bear testimony for him, to serve in whatever capacity you are serving in right now, bit by bit, that will wane. And as that wanes, you'll find that you really lose interest even in the idea of having faith in the Lord Jesus. And we run into the danger of many snares and temptations, and we can end up literally falling from grace. Can this happen? Yes. And thus we must decide. What would you decide? How would you decide? I like what Joshua said, the old biblical Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. His focus was not prestige or power or name or fame or wealth. He just wanted to serve the Lord. May this be our challenge as well, to really choose the Lord, choose faith, choose a life of godliness, and then we will really understand and enjoy the fullness of the Lord's blessings in the spiritual realm. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you would not force us to choose, but you will give to us that grace and wisdom to choose aright. Help us to choose as we should, about a life of godly contentment, a life of faith, a life of following the Lord Jesus, even if we don't have all the nice things of the world. Help us to choose the Lord Jesus all the time. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.